Track 6. Paul Henderson learns from David Dunnett, the Anglican Cathedral organist, about his career and about the Organ Reborn Festival following the successful refurbishment over the past 2 years.
Introduction, you probably have worked out that we're in the cathedral, the Anglican Cathedral of Norwich, and that was David Dunnett, the organist of the cathedral, playing an introducing fanfare. David.
Hello,
nice,
Paul.
Nice to see you.
You too.
How long have you been organist here in Norwich?
I think it's about 27 years. I came on the 10th of January, I think, in 1996.
What made you think about being an organist? What was the bit that drove you to become an organist?
Well, I think I got interested really not until my mid-teens, because before that I really wanted to be a fighter pilot, as of course a lot of young lads do. But gradually it became obvious that perhaps my talents were perhaps more in music than in other things. And so I got very interested in the organ, probably around 15, 16 really.
Okay.
And I love the sound and the music, and I actually quite like the fact that you have to multitask while you're playing the organ, because there's buttons and stops and all sorts of things to do with your feet as well. So I quite enjoy that kind of mechanics.
Okay, I mean, I sort of know that you're quite interested in being a jazz pianist as well, but the organ seems to have so many different facets that make it really, really challenging. When did you feel you'd actually mastered the skill?
Well, I don't think you ever do, really. We're always learning new stuff. But yes, the organ is because it's a huge range of sound, you can play so many different styles of music on it, and including lots of arrangements that were originally for other instruments, which makes it very, very versatile. And the sheer range of volume and colours on the organ makes it very challenging but very interesting to play, because you can do so much on it. But no, you really are still learning all the time, and there are new gadgets as well to learn about. For instance, on the organ now we have a thing called a pedal divide, so you can play two different sounds, one with one foot and one with another foot, at different pitches, which we haven't had before. So I'm having to learn how to use that one, because it could be quite useful in certain pieces. So there's always something new to learn.
So you're alluding there to the fact that there's been a restoration of the organ, and an improvement, obviously. Were you heavily involved in that?
Well, yes, and in fact I asked the Dean of Chapter when I first arrived whether the organ could be part of the appeal that was going on at the time for the two new buildings, but unfortunately it wasn't able to come on board there, so I had to wait a long time before the organ was rebuilt. And of course during those 27 odd years I had a number of different ideas myself, and threw them around with other people, and people came to look at it and visit it and write reports on it and suggest what they thought should be done with it. So it's been through a long generative process of how best to rebuild it and what we think we needed to do with it to set it up for the next 100 or so years. So yes, I've been heavily involved all the time.
So do you feel it really has been a success, and they've achieved what you wanted them to achieve?
Yes, I think very, very much so. They've done a wonderful job, and we have made some crucial structural changes to it inside the big case. It doesn't look terribly different apart from the nice new gold leaf pipes. But we have restructured inside in a way that we think works better for today's music making in the cathedral and for leading the worship. And they've done a wonderful job, and it's a real thrill to play. Yeah, it is. And as you can see at the console you're looking at here, they've done the workmanship is beautiful. It's a really
Absolutely.
Lovely console.
Absolutely. How did you cope when it was being repaired? Because presumably you had to use electronic organs?
Yes, we did. We had to have two because of the shape of our building. So we had to have one in the choir area and one in the nave. And so, yeah, it was quite tricky sometimes going between the two. And a very different sort of sound. But we knew it was only temporary, so we dealt with it, you know, with having two organists playing at once sometimes, which is quite fun.
Obviously, being a purist, you would say that an electronic organ is in no way comparable to a proper organ like this.
Well, there are some very, very impressive digital organs these days, and you know, I would challenge more or less anybody to sit down and listen with the blindfold on and really be convinced every time what's what, because they can make them so faithful to the original sound. But I sort of look at it as sense that you wouldn't want to go and hear Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto played on a digital piano, you know, however good it might actually sound. You'd actually want to hear it played on a Steinway or something, or a Bösendorfer. And it's the same with the organ, really. The sound is quite different in terms of the way it moves the air and the acoustic properties of the instrument. There's no substitute for the real thing, really, I think. So, but they are very impressive digital organs. I have one at home to practice on, and it's very good. But this is what we really need here, I think.
There's going to be obviously a celebration of this organ being reborn, I believe is the term. What's this Battle of the Organs?
Well, we've already had our opening recital. That was back in November by the great Thomas Trotter. He came and did a wonderful recital to a packed cathedral. That was great. But we thought it would be nice to have a longer festival to celebrate it. So the Battle of the Organs was something we did just before the organ was taken apart. And it's done all over the place. It was a sort of really something that Carlo Curley used to do. You may remember him. American organist. And so you'd get together the big church pipe organ and a digital organ and maybe a little chamber organ. So that's what we do. We're hiring in a digital organ again, and we've got our little chamber organ, so you can play all three off against each other or play them all together. Right. And it has some, you know, interesting and slightly comical effects at times. But we thought, because it was such a great success the last time, we thought we'd do it again.
Right.
So very similar repertoire, but a lot of fun, really. So yeah, hope people will come hear it.
So most of us who come to cathedral for services and so on never see you, but you are an integral part. And obviously your main role is to support the singing either by the choir or by the congregation. How on earth do you know what's going on in the service when you're up here?
Well, as you can see, we have three television screens up here, so we can see the conductor and see processions and various bits of the service as we need to. We also have some loudspeakers underneath the music desk here, which will relay the sound of the choir easier than hearing it above the sound of the organ. What you do is you get used to knowing what volume of sounds and type of sounds that you need to play for the choir, so you don't overplay for the choir, and you get to know how much volume you need for an average congregation or for a bigger congregation, and so you use your experience of musicianship and ears to balance the whole thing out. But it takes a lot of time setting up the organ for various events. So I'll be in this evening after the place shuts for a couple of hours setting up stops for things that are coming up in the next week or so. So it takes a lot of time to program the combination buttons and to think of the sounds and see if they'll work. So yes, it's quite a time-consuming business.
And presumably it also means you have to have a good rapport with Ashley Grote, who's conducting the choirs or whatever.
Yeah, that's crucial, really. And of course you get to know each other's styles and body language, and Ashley's a wonderfully clear conductor, so he's a joy to work with. But yes, it's very important that you're prepared to go along with what the person who's directing will do, and if he calls up and says that's a bit loud, you just adjust it, or vice versa. So it's a very important relationship within our musical department. Whoever's on the keys and whoever's on the podium need to work together.
Okay.
Yeah.
And have you got specific pieces of music that you particularly like playing on this organ? I have to say, I heard you play Elgar's Pomp and Circumstance last Sunday.
My tastes are very wide. I mean, being an organist, of course, Bach is always first and foremost in your mind. But yes, I mean, I love all different types of organ music. I couldn't possibly pick one favourite at all, but they're all great. You know, and you can do anything on this organ because it's big and it's got so many colours. But if I were on a desert island and I had no other composer, as an organist, I'd have Bach.
Perhaps you could play us out now. It's been a delight talking to you, but it would be really nice to hear a little bit of Bach now, perhaps.
I shall play the beginning of the Toccata and Fugue in D minor.
Excellent.
Which I think everybody recognises.
Right.
And it certainly blows the roof off in here.
Excellent.